And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And today we have Intuitive Literacy. And Intuitive Literacy is brought to you by our host,
Angelo Corriero.
Intuitive Literacy is on Intuitive Soul Radio. It is sponsored by Checkup Magazine. Checkup is a respected free bi-monthly science and evidence-based wellness publication and online source providing individuals with tools, solutions, and guidance to optimal health. Intuitive Literacy is a monthly live online radio broadcast dedicated to personal growth and transformation, sponsored by Checkup Magazine. Your hosts, Angelo Carrero and Lori Houston, producer of Intuitive Soul Radio, will explore topics concerning your health and your life. You will have an opportunity to speak with Angelo directly and have questions answered. Each month brings a new topic and expert knowledge with best-selling authors, pioneers in the fields of consciousness, energy medicine, intuition, and more. And, you know, this is very exciting because our interview today, I actually credit with my development of my own intuition, because if it weren't for our interview today, I wouldn't have remembered my intuition the way I have. And I just very appreciative, and I've done a couple workshops with Laura, and so I'm very excited about doing this interview. So with that, why don't you introduce our guest?
Thank you. Yeah, Laura Day is the New York Times bestselling author of Practical Intuition, and has spent more than two decades helping companies as well as individuals use the power of intuition to achieve their dreams. Her global clientele includes celebrities, scientists, business executives, and other professionals. She speaks regularly both here and abroad and has appeared in numerous publications, Marie Claire, People Magazine, Newsweek, and on television including CNN, The View, The Oprah Winfrey Show, Fox News, and Good Morning America. And we are absolutely pleased to have Laura Day on the show. I read the book. I think it's fantastic. And I can't wait to pick your brain.
To delve in. So yeah. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you. What a wonderful intro.
So, Laura, usually I like to start with, you know, what was your journey? And I know a little bit about your journey, but what was your journey that sort of got you to here? And, you know, this book, what a great title.
Literally, that the couch is How to Rule the World from Your Couch, and the couch on the cover until my cat finishes shredding it, is this is my couch, and that is the couch cover. Although my hair and my makeup is not usually so great, and I'm usually not dressed as nicely, but I did, you know, I wanted to, and it's funny because they didn't jump at the title immediately when I was selling it, but this is what I do. I rule my world from my couch, and I do it successfully. And I really have observed, after 30 years of teaching, that people who prepare using intuition, actually when they have to go out into the world, it's easy. They don't have to do much. I mean, in a sense, our hardest journey is the one inside, but interfacing with the world, intuition can really prepare you for. So, you know, I wanted it to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my 50th birthday present to myself, because I thought, you know, at 20, you want to build big castles for yourself. But at 50, you start wanting to just give it away. And this really is my book of secrets about how to use intuition, whether it's in business or your life or in love or to raise your child or to change your body. I mean, you know, intuition is an idiot's gift in that anybody can use it. It's something you already do, and you can use it for anything, but it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very effective. I've actually, in reading the book, Laura, you created a format that is very, very easy to access for just about anyone that picks it up. I've read many books on the subject. I've attended many workshops. I've worked alongside some of the best and not so good. and, you know, you've really proven that this is applicable to just about anybody, anywhere, at any time.
Well, you know, I read all my own emails because people email me such private things. So I spend a good part of my day reading emails and answering them. And what I'm getting the most of is, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. How did I do that? Because people shock themselves. And that's what I love about this book. When you do telepathy and you send a message and the person gets the message and calls you, all of a sudden you have proof in the real world. Because, you know, if you have to believe in something for it to work, your belief works. But the tool doesn't work. Intuition is a tool, and it's a natural thing your brain does. And anybody, when they're successful, is using their intuition, because even the simplest thing, like crossing the street, you have to coordinate so much information to do it safely. that intuition is always at play, not just experience, not just intelligence, not just logic, although those are at play as well. And I love, you know, what I love about How to Rule the World from Your Couch is that it doesn't matter where you start from. You know, people always look at all my celebrity clients. A lot of them started at rock bottom, literally. I mean, just, you know, born with illnesses and to poor families and not having educations and sometimes not even having families. And they used their intuition because when you're a kid, you can't use logic. You can't use intelligence. You can't use experience. All you have is intuition, you know, and they used that to really create good lives for themselves. And then they went back and did what normal people do, you know, when they're little, which is form egos and learn the rules of community and, you know, form a heart and preference and things like that.
Can you give us an example of one of your clients that?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that if you look through the people I work with, there are many examples. I mean, Demi Moore certainly didn't start out with a silver spoon in her mouth, and she had a chronic kidney ailment and was in and out of hospitals, and, you know, her parents didn't have a lot of money and they didn't stay together, and she, you know, was abandoned early, and, you know, her intuition took her in the right direction, not only made her a very successful actress, but also a successful person, and she's raised three beautiful, successful, you know, intelligent, grounded daughters, and she's, you know, had good relationships, and she's really, you know, I mean, she came from nowhere. And the fact of the matter is, I didn't really, you know, I was kind of, until I had to make a living, I was intuitive, and people flew me around places because I was intuitive, but it wasn't really a career. It wasn't until I hit rock bottom and had a new baby and no place to live and couldn't travel anymore because I was nursing him every second, and I was living in a completely new world, having never, I mean, I met my husband when I was 16, you know. I mean, it wasn't until then that I sat down and wrote a book. I mean, people forget that it is, my last book was called Welcome to Your Crisis. It's when we're at rock bottom that we find true genius. But, you know, Welcome to Your Crisis is about how to find true genius and not create a crisis, not wait for that point. How to Rule the World from Your Couch really gives you the tools to know what someone else is thinking, to influence someone from a distance, to predict the future, to be able to experience a company, and therefore be able to know whether you're getting the right information or not. I mean, they're very simple tools, and also how to do things like change your body using your mind to do it and using your intuitive ability to do it. I think one of the most interesting things about science is that we once thought that genes were genes and they never changed. And now with epigenetics, we're finding out actually that's not true. Your genes, so your program, your hardwiring, even if you're an identical twin, changes over a lifetime. So to a set of identical twins will have different epigenetics by the end of their lifetime, and their children will be even more different. So it's really important to know that your inner experience, what you do inside your own body, can actually change the way your body works. And for things like obesity, where we feel like, oh, my parents were fat, I'm stuck with this, that's actually not true, and you can do a lot to change the program that works, that this wonderful machine that we all drive, the human body.
And you've introduced actually a format for accessing a lot of the practical tools that you're known for.
Well, yes.
With each chapter that you've introduced, body heat, telepathy, for instance, mediumship, you've changed somewhat the definition, making it more succinct, but also introduced the exercises at the beginning of the chapter.
Well, you know, when I sent this book to my publisher, they said, oh, the book's amazing, except for the first page of every chapter. And I said, ah, that tells me you've read the book, but you haven't done it. You're supposed to do my books, not read them. So my editor went back, and she did the book, and she called me 5 hours later, and she said, you know, she her Spanish is her first language. Dios mios, I can't believe what I did. I did this, I felt this, and I was right. And the fact of the matter is, these are really easy skills. I mean, two-year-olds who survive in war-torn countries do it because of intuition. So uncovering them as an adult is not that hard. And it's people, the emails are, people are shocked at what they're able to do. You really can you know, seduce from someone you don't even know or seduce them at a distance. Just remember, you also can be seduced. So they're, you know, they're...
It's a double edge.
This is meant to be done kind of on the job, not to sit down and do exercises, but to literally say, okay, I'm going for this job interview, and this is what I need to do from this book. Or I'm going to a party, and I feel like falling in love, and here's what I need to do. Or someone's pulling on me, and they won't let go, here's what I need to do. Because, you know, one of the things people forget is if you can send a message, you can also get a message. And we get a lot of messages and have a lot of arguments in our head that we shouldn't necessarily be having. I mean, they don't necessarily help us. So part of the training is really being able to make space. But I would say the circle is a format for using intuition. It's kind of the grid work. Welcome to your crisis is how to stay out of trouble. And now how to rule the world from your couch really are the tools to use that common field we share to create results in your life. And I actually have a Twitter. It's Laura Day Intuit at Twitter, I-N-T-U-I-T. And I send out group assignments every night and every morning. And together as a group, we create things in our lives.
Nice.
And I have a Facebook, and then we all report the things we created. And it's really a lot of fun. I mean, I love intuition because I'm able to be part of a very big community while staying on this wonderful couch. The cat who's destroying it sleeping right beside me at the moment. You know, and one of the things I don't do is I do workshops. I just scheduled this morning one in Toronto, one in Los Angeles, one in Chicago.
When are you going to
Washington.
When are you going to be here?
You know what? You'd have to look at my website, howtorulethewordfromyourcouch.com, because one thing I don't have is memory.
Okay.
Thank God, because I'd probably be in a hospital, because so much information goes through our minds. And one thing people forget about intuition or anything else is that you really have to know what your questions are and know what your goals are.
Mm-hmm.
And new ones come all the time, but it's very helpful to take them out of the messy head and write them down or put them on your iPod. And then all of a sudden, all that information that's been coming to you all the time begins to make real sense.
Mm-hmm.
And simply, you know, with a Twitter, I simply train people to do that. What are your goals? What are you struggling with? What are you trying to draw toward you from the world outside? What are you struggling with inside? And now go to sleep where your attention is not... You know, when you're awake, your attention is doing what mammals do, you know, reproduction, protection, shelter, food. But those of us who are fortunate enough to have a safe place to sleep, and that, of course, unfortunately is not all of us, shame on us, but is not all of us. But those of us who are fortunate enough to have a safe place to sleep, our conscious guard is down during sleep. We're not using our senses to gather information that we need as animals. And so those senses are free to go out, to be mobile in the world, and to connect with other people in the world and make real change. So you can actually go to sleep in one life and wake up in another.
Absolutely.
And that's what I try to have people to do, because a lot of it is done too consciously.
And, in reading the book, it inspired many, many questions. A lot of the exercises that you introduce, I've applied. And I've seen my own telepathy increase because, of course, my attention has been on utilizing the exercises to increase it. I mean, it's really just paying attention to what was already there. It's more immediate, more accessible. And, you know, in that idea of going to sleep and being able to change the world from, you know, a dream state or being inspired through subconscious imagery.
Not a dream state, actually.
Sorry?
It's a sleep state, not a dream state.
A sleep state.
A dream state is just a teeny part of sleep.
True. Okay.
Sorry. I'm such a stickler because actually people do as they're told. And so I want to make very sure that people are told the right things. I mean, did you know your subconscious mind decides to do something 9 seconds before you're conscious of it?
Yes.
That's a scary thought, don't you think?
Well, it is a scary thought. I mean, it says a lot about what we're capable of doing. I mean, we feel the intentions of others all the time, but it at least from my experience and from what I've observed in others, is that they're aware of it, but they're not completely coherent with the messages.
Well, also, and you can't send words. You have to use all of your senses to send. A memory is a good thing to send, or... a kind of a sensual, you know, picture that has taste, smell, sight, feeling.
The synesthesia or the synesthetic experience.
Actually, Toronto is May 1st.
Oh, good.
Wonderful.
And I'm going to do a full day, really, really intensive training, especially for people who want to, you know, bring in their companies and work as a team or who want to work as intuitives. I mean, it's for people who are just interested in using it in their own life, too. But it's going to be a very, very intensive workshop because I travel so infrequently. But it's, I think that what I like about intuition is you don't really have to learn something new. You're simply uncovering something that you already
That's already
do.
There.
So it's organic, and everybody does it a little differently. But it makes it gives us a realism. And I'm very anti-positive thinking. Because positive thinking, if a bullet's coming at you, that bullet's going to hit you unless you do something. And the do something is not closing your eyes or pretending everything's fine and it's going to go away. The doing something is move or duck. And I'm not a big fan of negative thinking either, because you're walking straight for your obstacles and you're completely unaware of your opportunities. That's not what you're focused on.
Mm-hmm.
Realistic thinking is important. And that's what intuition tells us. But intuition's able to give us more. So not only this is my reality now, but here are the opportunities around me now. And here are the little changes I can make to bring more opportunities to me tomorrow or later today. And so on and so on and so on. And so it really gives you a control over your own life and over the lives of others. And I think that far from, I mean, although you can certainly use intuition to do some pretty awful things, I think that when people, especially adults, become aware of how much power they have, it actually makes them kinder, because they're not desperately feeling that they have to battle each other. They're realizing, actually, we're always working together energetically.
Mm-hmm.
And I can work together in a way that helps you to help me.
Mm-hmm.
To help you.
Yeah.
To help me.
I have a multitude of questions.
Great.
Okay, so let me jump in with what would you recommend for, let's say, and because this is from an email that I recently received, and from the feedback from clients with, you know, parents that have kids that are in their teens, that are going through that, you know, what am I going to do with my life? Facing the pressures, peer pressures, you know, everything is new, and yet there is an underlying current that seems to be very, very strong with this next generation that's emerging. In the direction of how can we change the world, you know, because they are on their couch a lot playing video games, but maybe not so conscious, but very conscious. And what would you say to that generation,
to this
new generation?
You know, I have a child in that generation. I have a 17-year-old, and my experience is that we're handing them a world with a lot of problems, that's short on resources, and that's economically pretty shaky and undefined, because we have this new global world, but we haven't figured out how to use it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a teenager shouldn't know what they're going to do yet. Mm. You know, I mean, I think that we put too much pressure on our teenagers, and I think what we need to let them know is that it is going to be okay. They will find the tools. Of course, they don't have them at 13 or 14 or 15, 16, 17. And I think we need to stop being friends to our kids and start being parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, teens especially, they need a framework. They need to do things that give them self-respect. But the people who set the limits, we're those people. And I think that, unfortunately, because of the job market, young people and older people are competing with each other instead of handing the crown down. And, you know, I'm 50, and it's certainly at my age, although I certainly want more things for my career and my work life, and it still interests me, I'm also at a point where it's my job to teach younger people
mm-hmm.
in their teens, 20s, even 30s, to fill my shoes and make those shoes bigger one day. And I don't think there's enough of an awareness among adults. I don't think the kids are the problem. I think we're the problem.
I agree. And I just want to jump in with, you know, I'm turning 31 tomorrow.
You
So, I'm at that halfway point. Thank you. Still here. It's the quarter of the way point. It's a matter of perspective. And I entered this field of intuition not knowing what I was getting myself into. And at 18, the inkling or the calling in that direction to pursue that world beyond and within the five physical senses was really important. I explored a lot, and I was informed by guidance that was beyond what I thought was my reference point at the time. I've since changed how I see the world, knowing that energy is real and we can communicate on levels that my parents certainly weren't aware of, because their lives were pretty much occupied with survival. Immigrant parents from Italy, trying to support a family. But
you ate well.
But I ate well. Yeah. Right. And no complaints there. Absolutely. But when a new consciousness began to emerge, I was looking to people that were the adults in educators, mentors, and finding it difficult to access them in a place that was authentic, that was real. And
I think more than that, I think that, older people we're in a society that tries to keep us young, and we lose the perspective that actually, I am surrounded by helpful, adoring, energetic young people who want nothing more than to make my life easier. And I find them fascinating, and I want nothing more than to find them clients and guide them into careers and parts of the world that will support all of us, the whole world and our futures. But in order to do that, you actually have to give up being prince and become king, give up princess and become queen, and then become dowager queen, and it's important that, things have cycles, and we're even changing the seasons, apparently, with global warming, although I'm not a big subscriber to that, but it really is important to live the reality of energy. And the reality of energy is energy can never isolate. It is always in community. And we are always in community. And if you don't find that place in community, then you're not, and nobody designates it. You can be a wild old person, and start a whole new, I just wrote something for AARP, I hope they publish, because you can start a whole new life at 80 if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something for the energy of young people. And when I go grocery shopping, believe me, I take two teenagers with me. And when they need to, enter something into a contest, they ask my advice. Because I know how the world works. We all do different things. And when we put that together in community and really be as we are when we're in our intuitive state, life goes very easily.
It does.
I'm a slob about asking for help. You should see my website. I'll say, I need everybody to put word out now. Or I need everyone to send energy so this cold goes away because I have to fly tomorrow. And I get this back. And I'm really part of my group. A lot of the feedback I get from my students is that they feel like I'm family. And they also feel like, oh, you're messed up too. because I think that the era of, I'm okay because I'm Guru Maharaji and you're not okay is over. The kids now are too smart for that. I think that self-help, A, should not be accompanied by a lot of merchandising.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, and B, I think self-help means you can help yourself, and to be honest, there's always something else you're going to deal with. And wouldn't life be boring if there weren't? I just mourned my mother's death. Literally, this summer, I mourned my mother's death because I was old enough and strong enough, and my life is wonderful enough that I could sit down, and I had a breakup, so I mourned my mother's death, my divorce, the breakup, because I was ready to, wasn't ready to. 36 years ago, wasn't mm-hmm. ready to 10 years ago, wasn't even ready to in January.
Yeah.
I was ready to in June. And I've emerged, my new little book that I use says, just when the caterpillar thought the world was over, it became a butterfly.
Mm.
And I think that's a very important thing to realize. So I would say to young kids, demand that your elders serve you and be respectful and listen to what they have to say, but demand that they give to you and show them what you have to offer them. You know, so I think that as you know, you're not an elder yet, but I think I can say I've entered the elder realm.
I have moments.
And what?
I have moments.
Okay, but you're 21. You've given birth to me.
Not until tomorrow.
Not until tomorrow. But, you know, I think that they're rights and responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And if the older people can't, you know, can't hold their end up, it may be to the younger people to show them how.
May I ask, what inspired the title? How to Rule the World from Your Couch? From your couch. I laughed when
I'm on my couch right now as I speak to you. I'm looking at my stove where dinner's cooking because my son will be home soon. I do my clients by phone from my couch. I write my books with my computer on my lap from my couch. If you look at most of my interviews, they take place in my own home. So I really bring the world to me, and I use intuition to do it through telepathy, through embodiment, through mediumship. So I create an atmosphere where people are happy to be.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of my workshops in my home, especially my home in the country, because I like to trap my advanced students so I can really torture them. And so there's not so much distraction like there are. You know, Toronto is full of distraction. There's so many fun things to do. In the boondocks, I'm the only game in town. And it's good to, you know, get them noodling down and working. And then the only fun they have is to go a year in someone else's future and describe mm-hmm. it and do a good job. I'm looking forward to coming back to Toronto. It's
yeah,
been
absolutely.
Years, and I love Toronto. And I think it's a wonderfully kind of democratic melting pot of a city. And I get great students, you know, all different kinds of people. And people are very nice, and they help each other out. I've had great groups in Toronto. I think I first met you in Toronto when you were 12.
Very funny.
Well, you were about 12.
Well, I was
2 and burping into a microphone.
Thanks. Is that your intuitive scan, or are you doing intuiting at a distance?
Scan. I mean, okay. I used to take my son.
No, I'll own that. I'll own that.
We used
yeah.
to go to Toronto, and my son used to, his deal for playing video games on his little Game Boy, which is what they used back then,
yeah,
was that he could burp into the microphone. So at the beginning of the workshop, we'd have Samson burp into the microphone. He's now 17 and a half and be mortified. and then everyone would get to work, and he'd hang out, and, you know, some teenager would take him out to, do you remember, was it Sega City? There were all these amazing game
yeah.
zone places.
Yeah, we had gone to the CN Tower to play video games.
Tower,
that
right,
yeah, one of the afternoons.
I always get dizzy when I look down
yeah.
under that glass thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's nice to it's nice to see other people go out and do the work. And that's why I wrote How to Rule the World from Your Couch, because I think there really needed to be a textbook. You know, something that said, if you want to look at a remote location, if
mm-hmm.
you want to see the structure of a building, this is how you do it. If you want to read someone's mind, this is how you do it. If you want to send somebody a clear message that they'll respond to, this is how you
this
do it.
This is how you do it.
And I think it needed to be that clear and uncomplicated, because then intuition has no limits. So if you start off with a framework, you can allow intuition to be broad.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I've noticed, I mean, since I met you, and that, I believe that was 03 or 02, and this was with the release of The Circle?
It was before that.
Was it before that even?
I do.
Wow. And, you know, I'll own the fact I felt like I was 12, but I was probably 23 at the time. But, you know, and I was immersed in a world.
Samson loved you.
we had fun.
And Samson has people. My son is very funny. I have not trained. I just had a big Hollywood book party, because this is my 6th book. And my son is now 17 and a half and very aware of social graces and media. said, well, what do I do if they ask if I've ever read your books? And I said, tell them the truth. Of course not. She's my mother.
Yeah.
You know? But he's always used his intuition. And the way you train children in intuition is you allow them to be creative. You don't want them to be intuitive because you don't want them to be able to see what you're doing in the bedroom or what's happening on the news and go to that war-torn country, because then they'd be mentally ill by the time they were 10.
Mm-hmm.
But you channel into creativity and you allow them to have some security in their own perception. So there are people my son at that age wouldn't have even touched, or he would have refused to leave the room with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my son has a very good radar for people, and he just liked you right off.
Thank you.
Those are big workshops. Those are kind of overwhelming for a 2-year-old.
They were overwhelming for a 23-year-old coordinating the events. And trying to do the introductions or you know, maintain composure. You know, certainly the environment was loaded. There's a lot of people that needed help. And
well, I'm really looking forward to doing it again, and I'm looking forward to bringing Samson and having him go to CN Tower again, and not the place where they joust and you eat chicken legs with your hands. What's that place called?
You know, it's not there anymore, but it
Medieval Times.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
on Lake Shore.
It is so nice to have a teenager. But I'm really looking forward to training a new troop of Canadians and having them work and showing them how to set up practices. So
definitely.
I'm excited. Spread the word.
Yeah, I certainly will. There's a lot of forward movement. You know, just to go back to how this has evolved for me, and intuition absolutely is organic and always evolving. You know, my first days were on the Learning Annex telephones, just answering the phones and doing registrations for workshops like yours. And this is where I began to get information about people that had nothing to do with registration or their attendance of the workshop. So that's when I began to, you know, see beyond, feel beyond, hear beyond. My senses stretched, my voice deepened, and my maturity began to grow. And you know, it wasn't before long that I started to, you know, fly with, you know, what else was possible. And then creativity started to, you know, take on a new meaning. So I see no bounds. Absolutely, I agree with that. I don't know what else.
It helps you do whatever you want to do.
If you
want to be a better investment banker, it helps you do that.
That's right.
If you want to be an actor, it helps you do that. And, you know, what I like with what you've done is you've grounded it in the real world, because I think, you know, spirituality is great, but not as an excuse for not building a decent life.
Mm-hmm.
And building a decent life for those around you. And that, you know, everyone does in their own way. But I think my generation used spirituality more as a way to go to a mountaintop and escape and,
eat
what we wanted and have free sex and not get jobs. And I think, you know, your generation is saying, okay, life actually does have to function. Children have to eat meals.
Things have to happen. Yeah.
So intuition actually needs to be practical, dependable, repeatable, and integrated into making a better life.
And it is a practice, and sometimes we make mistakes, like everything else.
Well, anyone who tells you they're 100% is someone to run, not walk away from.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure you've heard me say that in a workshop.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody is perfect. However, your batting average can get a whole lot better, and that makes life so much easier. And working together makes life so much easier. I mean, I haven't put out a new book for quite a few years. And during the time that I'm not writing, I help other people develop their careers. I have students who I help develop their careers and send clients to. I put businesses together with money. I have, I have very few private clients because I don't want to compete with my own students. I have, you know, a couple companies. But, you know, I'm working for people basically for free, developing new talent in the world. But then the minute that I have something that I want out in the world, I have all of these wonderful people helping me.
Mm-hmm.
So I can literally do it from my couch.
That's fantastic.
First time I ever went on tour. And I knew people in every single city I went to. I had students. And one night I was actually, because I had been living on gummy bears and Coca-Cola, I hope my son never hears this, and getting 3 hours a night's sleep. One night I literally thought I was going to have to check myself into Cedars-Sinai because I kept feeling faint. And it was 9 o'clock, and it was either do my book reading or checked myself into Cedars Sinai. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And I thought, okay, I'm going to show up because I know people have driven a long way for this free one-hour workshop. I showed up, and there were, I would say, a third of the room were healers I'd trained, and within 5 minutes, they had me back on my feet, and the second half of the tour was a breeze.
They showed up.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, not only did they show up, but were so generous and caring and, you know, really kind of took over in such an incredible way. And it was really nice because everything does come full circle. And it's important to be useful in the world.
It absolutely.
And intuition lets anybody be useful because you can give wonderful answers and guidance to other people that's life-saving.
Very true. And that's part of the inspiration to go into nursing. Came from an intuitive hit that I received 2 years ago, 3 years ago, while on the phone with Dr. Marlisa Schultz.
Oh, yes, I know. I'm seeing her Wednesday. She's coming to stay with me Wednesday.
Okay, yeah. And she's
makes
been
the best oatmeal cookies on earth.
And you know, she's been in Toronto a few times as well. And, you know, all I saw was what looked like the geographical location of where she was living at the time. And within a few days, I was on the phone on the phone with her booking an appointment after listening to a Hay House Radio show. That's intuition at play. She suggested that I go into nursing as an alternative to being a healer without a credential, which is what I was at the time.
A good girl.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is where intuition is making it real. And what I saw, you know, throughout the course of my nursing program, and I'm just in the final phase of completing, you know, this is where intuition gets really real and really grounded. And one of the things that I clicked with your book is that you're very real, very approachable, and you do demonstrate how intuition in many different scenarios, or straight across the board, works. And you've demystified the subject. I've heard from so many people over the course of, you know, my days in Learning Annex and programming events and working in my own practice, etc., at the bookstore, Omega Center Bookstore in Toronto, which is no longer in existence. Perhaps for some of these reasons, which is we spiritualize something that's just completely a grounded, everyday faculty perception.
And, you know, I always say to people, what is spirituality? Spirituality is meaning. And if something doesn't have meaning, if what you're eating doesn't have meaning, if who you're kissing doesn't have meaning, if what you're reading doesn't have meaning, if what you're saying doesn't have meaning, why are you doing it? Spirituality shouldn't be separate from life. You know, everything is spirit, and much of it is matter, and the matter is important.
So are you, with the exercises, or with your approach to the system that you've developed, with intuition in your new book, How to Rule the World from Your Couch, are you suggesting that we move towards integration?
Absolutely. I think if you have a body, you should learn how to operate it. If you live in a society, in a community, you should learn how to be part of it and be a successful part, that you're happy being. So absolutely integration. I think that you know, being disembodied, having no needs, no wants, no desires is great. Perhaps when you're dead. I don't know. I don't have a real recollection of being dead. But certainly on this planet, to learn to be successful emotionally, economically, you know, giving something to your community as a lover, as a parent, as a daughter, as a sister, as a husband, you know, all of those things, those are important. That's mastery. You know, it's important to master the game of life. And we do it together. And intuition helps. It's really, it really gives you a rule book you don't have, a play-by-play guide you don't have, or that you're not aware of. And of course, you have it.
And you know, there's a lot of people that I'm really curious about the body heat part of your book. But you know, there's a lot of people that don't really know how to trust their intuition. You know,
well, you shouldn't trust it. No, I mean it. You should not trust intuition. You should use it. You should take good notes, and it will prove itself to you. If you have to trust something, it doesn't work. If you have to trust something in order to use it and have it work for you, it doesn't work. Do not trust your intuition. A good scientist is a skeptic who runs the experiment anyway. And that's what you need to do with intuition. So the next time you are lonely, instead of sitting in your loneliness, do some body heat. And then walk out your door or don't walk out your door and see who calls. See what neighbor drops by.
Okay, talk about what is body heat.
Well, telepathy is sending a message and to with a, you know, a response that you want. So I could send a message to my son to get his calculus done before dinner time. And most people think of sending a message as sending words, but it really is not sending words. What you're doing is you're jumping intuitively into the person with a goal in mind. So what would make this person want to do calculus? Oh, being able to see all the TV shows we've saved. So you experience the joy of being with your son, watching these TV shows, but oops, can't happen because calculus isn't done. And that's what the person experiences. So they naturally get their calculus done. My son's giving me the hairy eyeball as we speak. Body heat is when you use your intuition to jump in to what I call someone's pleasure center. What is it, you know, everyone thinks, oh, you know, being beautiful, smart, and charming is what people fall in love with. But it's not true. People fall in love with all different kinds of things. So it's finding that part in them, you know, directing intuition to gather information, which is the first chapter, about that part in them where they hold pleasure, what gives them pleasure, what tastes, smells, feelings, what memories, songs, you know, what language, what food gives them pleasure. And then finding that thing that gives them pleasure, those things inside yourself. And sometimes it's a memory, sometimes it's a part of somebody you were, sometimes it's just someone you can imagine being. But then you really fill yourself with that part of yourself, and you connect that to the other person energetically, because sometimes the person isn't even in the room. As a matter of fact, if you're looking for someone who's a spouse, sometimes you don't even know that person. And in that connection, what you do is you create a bond that then is often expressed in the world. The problem with body heat, the downside, is you get as involved as the other person does when you're doing it. So, you know, it's one of the things that I tell people about any kind of telepathy is that the first thing you want to do with telepathy is notice all the conversations you're having in your head and decide which ones are really productive and which ones you want to put a period at the end of. Because a lot of those conversations, you know, where you're arguing with your father you haven't seen in 5 years, it's really not productive anymore. And so I give techniques to give yourself more energy and more space to be able to use more of your power to have those constructive dialogues that actually give you results in the world. And body heat gives you results in your love life. Although it's also a wonderful way to send healing, to send somebody pleasure.
Laura?
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. I'm listening. I'm feeling the warmth and telepathic doing the connection. Kind of felt it before the show anyway, but I'm really curious about what you mentioned in the chapter on remote viewing. You'd written, and I quote, "My son has asked me many a time to not think about him when he's at school because he can feel me and it is distracting." And I can identify with that experience, and I have those experiences all the time, be it clients, my own parents, my partner, just people being in different places at different time zones, but you're aware of it. You're trying to focus. You can't focus because these people keep walking in.
But
walking in physically, they're just walking into your internal space, yet you're trying to keep them all out. And white light doesn't work.
And you can, exactly, white light doesn't work. The only thing that works is, it's in this book, it's also in The Circle, is embodying. Is when you fill yourself with you. And when I mean fill yourself, it's your five senses, your thoughts, your memories, and your attention. So what you do is you experience what it is to be you. And ideally, you experience what it is to be you in a reality you want, which is not pretending, because you're not making it up. You're allowing your attention to be open and all the sense receptors to be filled. You're not filling them. And what happens is, you know, often when people experience a new reality, the first thing that comes up for them are all the things that get in the way. But what happens is you get used to doing that, And so people have to knock on your door, so to speak, in order to gain access. And it's, you know, it's a very important thing to learn how to do well. But also when you embody, you send out a different kind of general telepathy so that really only what you want comes your way. And of course, you always have people on your intuitive screen with alerts. You know, so I have an alert if my son is going anywhere near trouble. I have an alert if my father needs me. You know, I have two sisters, a brother, and three stepsisters. I have alerts for them, and 12 nieces and nephews who I have alerts for. But I'm careful at what intensity I put that alert.
Okay.
It's not a skin knee. You know, and it's something that you learn how to do. I mean, on some level, one of the really engaging things about life is learning to master yourself and use the many, many tools that you have to communicate, to create, to change.
My intuitive sense about what you're saying is that we are moving into a greater awareness and developing more language around the internal experience that, for the most part, is somewhat vague, difficult to discern, and or to identify. I mean, we've already accepted that intuition is real, it's practical, but now it's, you know, even to the point where you're psychically keyed into someone at a distance, but how can you gauge intensity? Is there a measurement for it?
Sure. I mean, you know, there are some people who are such control freaks that they want to know everything that's happening in everyone around them's life all the time, but that's very unhealthy for them because it clutters their space, and so there's no room for them to notice what it is they need to notice to build a life. So you really do. You can make decisions, and when you find yourself being obsessively intuitive about things and getting too much information that's not useful, you redirect your attention by redirecting your questions. So if you notice, this happens a lot at the end of relationships where people argue inside their own head. What they don't realize is the other person's actually responding to them. But they have an argument that goes round and round and round and round and doesn't ever really get resolved. And you know, the remedy for that, other than embodying, is to forcibly direct your attention at something that needs doing now. So someone who needs to respond now, something you need to create now. I mean, I often see people use relationship trauma as a way, for example, especially at your age, not to, you know, go ahead in their work and get a better job and go out into the world and take new risks. I mean, there's always a neurotic payoff for using intuition badly, and it's very. And sometimes you don't need to figure out what that is. You simply need to do something differently, and then it gets figured out for itself.
So it's really centered on behaviors, action-oriented.
Well, everything's centered on discipline. I mean, on some level, we choose, and then we follow a path. And, you know, we need to be responsive enough for any surprises on that path, which I think intuition really allows us to do. But a lot of it, you know, a lot of life is behavior. It's not what information you get. It's what you do with it.
That's right. And, you know, I definitely have had the experience from teaching workshops myself that clients, you know, show up not doing anything with the information they've already been given, then yet asking for more or confused as to what they're receiving because they know that the directive is going to put them in direct conflict with a spouse or a situation that they don't want to confront yet.
And, you know, people, the interesting thing about using your intuition for yourself is people do not get information they're not prepared for. Your subconscious will repress it. Even if you're an amazing intuitive, your subconscious will repress what you're not ready for. I wasn't ready to experience loss until this June, and at 50, really mourned for the first time and now feel like I've taken the most beautiful rain shower on earth. But I'm sure I'll be working on something else next. It just hasn't happened, you know. But, it's so important to be active with the world around you, even if you're doing it from your couch. And to not, you know, one of the things I love about intuition, I love a lot about intuition, but I love the way it allows each person to be themselves successfully. I think we're coming out of, you know, 30 years where media was so, you know, quickly changing that we're able to get so much information that we think we need to be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas actually being your best you is going to be most satisfying and most marketable, whether it's in love or business or to your community or to your kids or to your spouse.
I agree. The proliferation of online radio shows that makes this one possible, it's built around the idea of just being authentic with your own message and carrying it through, which I've been dedicated to doing since I started.
A lot of time, the gurus we follow, the self-help people we follow, I cannot tell you how many times I've gotten, found a way to get penicillin for some new age doctor who says only take herbs, but they won't do it under their own name. And, that's not a good message. The fact of the matter is everything's fallible.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. How many times have we all made the mistake that was going to ruin our life and survived and thrived? And we need to be honest, especially if we're expressing a message. We need to be honest about who we are so that people can really use the message we have, whether it's on a radio show or as an author or as an intuitive or healer, teacher, parent. And I do think that we're getting back to authenticity because the BS meter on these young kids, pretty sensitive.
It's pretty good. It's amped up. Yeah, the volume's pretty high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are handing them one complicated world, and they deserve every single bit of our help.
Laura, what would you say about education in terms of,
I believe in it.
Well, knowledge is power. I believe in it, too. In terms of education, intuition, and how the curriculums could potentially change.
Well, I don't think anybody younger than 18 should actually be training in intuition. I think that they should be their intuition. You repress intuition as a child for a reason, because otherwise you'd go nuts. You're not emotionally geared to handle the information that your intuition gives you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for children, if you put more creativity in the schools, and I think every child should have a creative outlet, because otherwise your intuition kind of eats you up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's very important that we don't forget our creative programs in schools, dance, art, music, singing, all those kinds of writing, all those kinds of creative expressions, because that's where children express their creativity. But I also think, and I think this is happening in the schools,
mm-hmm.
that we stress community. Because when they work in community, they use their intuition naturally in ways that are empowering and creative.
I agree. Part of the research in the book that I'm attempting to write or is writing and in progress, I may have written already too. I don't know where I'm at with that, but I've explored a lot of different topics. I certainly have come across your books, and creativity comes up a lot. The bodily kinesthetic language comes up a lot in a lot of the books that talk about intuition in terms of engaging physical movement, creative expression, developing more of a language around the senses, and just focusing on the present moment experience, whatever that is, which is very contrary to the culture.
And I think the present moment, people think of time as a continuum. I tend to think of time as a place. And the present moment encompasses all of the future and all of the past. I think that's why we can read it. So when you change the present moment, you're changing everything. The power is in the present. And, we can all, everybody, no matter how famous or fabulous they are, everybody has moments
mm-hmm.
where they just think they can't go on.
Mm-hmm.
And from those moments, real genius is created. And I think that we need to give young people tools, and we need to give elderly people tools. I just was dealing with someone's elderly uncle. And, we have an elderly population that is part of our circle, that's part of our energy, that we can't allow to be hungry or cold or lost or frightened, who we need to make a place for because they're useful and they're wise.
Mm-hmm.
We waste much more than just food and plastic in our culture. Our real resource are our people.
That's right.
And I think that when we include everyone in a useful way, we create a very different world for ourselves. So I'm going to have to finish up now because yeah. I'm meeting in a few minutes. But this has really
been fantastic.
That workshop. I mean, I guess subconsciously it was a motivator.
Oh, perfect.
I thought, you know, I'm getting so many emails from Canada saying schedule a workshop, and I was thinking, you know, I'm going to do that. I'm going to schedule a Toronto workshop.
And so tell our listeners once again that the date is
May 1st.
May 1st.
Thank you, because I already forgot. If you know some great venues, email me.
Okay.
And I'm the only one who reads my email. So if people go to my website, which is howtorultheworldfromyourcouch.com, and if you Google me, it comes up. I'm the only one who sees your emails. So make them short, and I always respond.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about your book before you go?
You know, I think that I think that anybody doing this book, whether they're a believer or not, if you do this book, if you start out knowing what your life goals are, that everything will fall into place using intuition. And it's important to do this book, not read it. It's not a reading book. It's a doing book. You use it in your real life situations.
Right. Well, I know that from my own experience, practical intuition was definitely, you know, I've credited many times, it's on my website that, you know, that was, you know, the prime book in assisting me to understand clairsentience.
Thank you. I really appreciate mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. And to listeners, if for anyone that thinks they're reading another self-help book,
yeah.
they need to know that this is new, this is different, and their senses will be amplified and their experience will definitely be grounded in the present moment to get them to where they need to be.
Well, thank you. And I will see you all in Toronto.
Awesome.
Thanks so much, Laurie. Please
okay.
say hello to Samson for me.
I will.
See you soon.
He just walked in and handed me a mulled cider.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so we will be back next month with...
Next month's guest is Dr. Ron Alexander. Wise
cool.
mind, open mind.
Cool. All right, so, and we look forward to it. All right, take care.